What gifts and abilities do you have? What resources do you have that God has given you to help your friends and those around you hear the gospel? And our call during this sermon series called Out Loud with Words is a call to obedience. We need to be obedient to the call that Jesus has told us to go and make disciples. We as a church have failed in many realms of this. We're not really good at this. And that's why we need to have these conversations. That's why we need to have these sermons. We need to make sure that our community, our influences, or the people that we come in contact with hear the gospel message through us with the ways, the style, the personality, the resources that God has given you. It will look really different for each one of you. But we need to be obedient to the call to go and make disciples. That's why we're doing this series. First sermon happened 3 weeks ago. Dwayne preached on the Great Commission, showing us where our marching orders come from, show us what our call is to make disciples. I do want to make it clear that we are focusing on this sermon series, just a small part of making disciples, an important part, but it is just the gospel conversation side of it, because if you want to make a disciple, you first have to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Some following sermon series, we will be talking about, well, what do you do when someone follows Christ? How do you walk with them? That's why we're doing perspectives, really help you learn how to disciple someone through the full circle of discipleship. The full circle of discipleship is when that person that you shared the gospel with and made a disciple, they are now sharing the gospel with somebody else and now making a disciple. But this all starts with you sharing the gospel with somebody. That's the disciple making, the gateway to disciple making. The second sermon you heard in this series was the call circle. Kelsey, you did a great job of showing us the strategy. He's talking about prayer, care, and share. And the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's through humility and caring and loving on other people that gives us the stage to share the gospel. Then Doug Holliday, just last Sunday, talked about the triple way, getting the conversation started, asking good questions, admiring things, and then admitting that the reason I'm a Christian is because I'm a horrible person who needs a Savior. Shattering all those stereotypes that Christians often have, because Christians are often known for, I'm better than you, I got all these things figured out. But let's be honest, there's no difference from us in this church right now and those in the community. There's no difference but one thing. It's easy for us to look at people in jails, people that are living in poverty, people that are doing horrible things and be like, how could you do that? But let's be honest, there's no difference between us and them other than we found Jesus. Can you agree with that? So I think we have a responsibility to go as one beggar to another beggar and say, hey, I found where the food's at. This sermon, this is their fourth sermon in the series. This one's going to be on actually how do you share the gospel? Like what kind of stuff should you talk about? How do you articulate the gospel well? I'm covering half of it, just the G-O-S. The P-E-L is going to be covered by Jeff Poland next Sunday. I'm going to cover the first part of how to actually share it. Jeff's going to be covering the last part of how to actually share it. And then the sixth sermon, the last one, is going to be Dwayne preaching on the different responses people have to the gospel and how to work through that. So, 3 points of theology I want to share with you before we go into sharing the gospel. I think this is important for us to understand that it is God's responsibility to save. That means if someone gets saved, we're not like, oh, look at me, I did such a good job. This is God's work. This is God changing hearts. This is God transforming people. And also, this should take some pressure off. You should feel urgency, but you shouldn't feel pressure. Pressure is, it's all up to me. No, actually, it's all up to God. Which leads us to our dot. This is the dot that we own right here. It's our responsibility to share. That's what we're asked to do. Just be faithful in sharing. When the opportunities are there, speak, be a witness, serve, represent, have the conversations. Any open door, take it. Be the ambassador that's letting people know about Jesus, making Jesus famous. That's our dot that we need to own. It's our responsibility to share. And then the last point here is that it's their responsibility to respond. Their responsibility means that the people that we're sharing the gospel with, everyone needs to give an account for how they live. You can't force someone to follow Jesus, just the same way someone can't force you to follow Jesus. We can't control people's reactions. But what this means is that if we own our dog, we celebrate here at Fairlawn, we celebrate faithfulness, no matter how the person responds. If you share the gospel with somebody and they're like, I don't like you, you're horrible, I hate Christians, and they persecute you, they mock you, and they laugh at you, we celebrate your faithfulness. We celebrate saying, way to own your dot. We can't control people's reactions, but we can control what we do, and it's our responsibility to share. And do it in your style. Pray about who you want to share with. One thing that you need to remember is, and this is what the point of this sermon and Jeff's sermon is, we really want to communicate that what you're trying to say, what you're trying to communicate when sharing the gospel should not be in question. You should clearly know what the gospel is. Your question should be this: how do I communicate it to this individual? How do I unpack it for this person? But we need to have clarity about what we're actually sharing, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And that's why I wanted everybody here to memorize the GOSPL. How many of you guys have memorized the GOSPL, set it to the booth, got a free t-shirt, or at least signed up for a free t-shirt? Excellent. The rest of you, get on board with that. The reason we have you memorize is because we really want you to be thinking through these things when you're sharing the gospel. I was at a pastor's conference, and the rest of the pastors have left other than me and Kelsey. We were driving back that morning in Belleville, PA. Anyone ever been to Belleville, PA before? A couple of you guys know it's the middle of nowhere, mountains and trees. That's about it. And I've been praying that morning saying, God, give me a gospel conversation. 10 years ago, God started doing a really good work in my heart, helping me to wake up to the reality that I was not sharing my faith with other people. My friends were not hearing the message from me, and that troubled me greatly because I said, I need to actually be obedient here to what the Great Commission is talking about. It's a lot more than just my actions. It's actually out loud with words. And so God's been working on my heart ever since then. I've been making a regular part of my prayer time has been, God, give me a gospel conversation. Lead me to somebody who needs to hear. I'm ready to share with them. And so I was praying. I didn't have my 5 kids with me, which was great because I got some time to actually have some decent Devo time. And we left Belleville, Pennsylvania in this little rental car. FYI, a little tip. If you go to rent a car, never ask for their cheapest option, because I did, and I regretted it. I was in this little red car, and I barely fit, and Kelsey had to squish in beside me because we were the only 2 guys left, and we're driving down the road in Belleville, PA. We're about a half hour or something on our journey, and it was pouring rain, nothing but windy roads and forest, and this truck comes around the turn, and it's a really sharp turn. This truck is hogging the center of the road, so I'm creeping over to make sure an accident doesn't happen, and my tire hits a pothole, and boom! All the lights start flashing on my dashboard, and the car is going, boo, and I'm like, oh no. Kelsey's like, I think we blew a tire. I'm like, are you sure we blew a tire? And Kelsey's like, yeah, I think we did, man. So we pull off, and we're on the side of the road, and there's nothing but trees around, and we're on this little pull off, and we're like, let's go see if we have a spare. So we're looking at this rental. We can't find a spare anywhere. We're just getting drenched in the rain. We're cold. We're sitting back in the car. Like, what do we do? We look across the road, and we say, hey, that is a warehouse. Looks empty, but it's a warehouse. And it was a huge, giant warehouse. It's kind of rusted. It had these giant garage doors like you would pull semis into. And we're like, let's go check it out. So we drive over there, and we get to their parking lot, and we found a door, and it was unlocked, and we walked in, and the lights were on, some music was playing, but there was nobody around. And then we saw these stairs going up to this office space that was like high up in this warehouse. And it was dark, but we're like, let's go. So we start walking up the stairs, and I turned to Kelsey, and I was like, this is either gonna be really good, or we're gonna die. And so we go up the steps, and I put my head to the window, and it's a dark room, and I saw like a figure of a guy, like sitting on his desk with his shoes up on the desk, sitting on a chair, and then his shoes are up on the desk, and I'm like, hey. So I knock, and he stands up, and he starts walking towards me. And again, I thought, this is going to be really good or we're going to die. And he comes and he opens the door. His name's Cody. He's 23 years old. And Cody was like, what's up? And we told him what was up. He said, pull it all in. So we pulled it all in. And I was on the phone with the rental company. And they were like, hey, do you know where you guys are at? And I said, Cody, where we're at? He's like, oh, bro, you're in West Decatur, PA. I'm like, okay. I didn't know that was bad news. And so then I said, hey, we're in West Decatur. And they were like, oh, do you know that's in the middle of nowhere? Like, the middle of nowhere. like, we can't help you. I'm like, you're my rental company. I'm paying for roadside assistance. And, sorry. And Cody's over here in this conversation. Cody's like, hey, man, so I just called a Walmart. I'm like, there's a Walmart around here? He's like, well, it's 25 minutes away, but there is a Walmart. And he said, they have their tire. I called and asked them, they have your tire. And he said, I'll take you there if you want. I was like, you do that for us? He's like, absolutely do that for you. So Kelsey and I had a quick little huddle. You stay with the car, make sure we don't get robbed, and I'll jump in the pickup with the stranger. And so we start driving in the middle of nowhere. Stranger danger just had to go out the window right here. So and immediately I knew, like, the Holy Spirit was working. I was like, this is exactly what I prayed for. And I can sense the Holy Spirit's working because you just kind of feel this peace and this calm, and your heart's going like, boop, 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 boop. Some of you guys are probably good at sharing the gospel. I always get super nervous when a time like that comes. I'm just like, all right, God, settle me down. Give me words. And so in that conversation, we started with the ask, admire, admit. I was totally thinking about ask, admire, admit. And there was, I was asking questions about him. He knew I was a pastor. He knew I was coming from a pastor's conference. And he said, I said, hey, man, are there any churches around here? Because I wanted to shift the conversation to something spiritual. I was like, hey, are there any churches around here? And he said, listen, man, I'm just going to lay it out for you. I'm living with my girlfriend. Don't go to church. And I'm really not into that religious stuff. And I was like, wow. I'm like, this guy is so primed and ready for the gospel. Sometimes it'll take 4 to 6 hours of conversation to get that much information to know where someone's actually at. And he just laid it out for me. I was like, thanks, God. I was like, hey, you know what? I said, you know, Jesus wasn't that crazy about religion either. This is just the Holy Spirit working. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, you're a pastor. I'm like, I know. But honestly, Jesus wasn't that crazy about religion. In fact, there's this worship service he showed up at, and he like brought whips, started turning over tables because they were getting it all wrong. And he says, a lot more than just religion here. And he's like, all right, so can we talk about it? He said, yeah. We start having a conversation, and God started giving me such a burden and a heart for Cody. And we started having this conversation about the GOSPL and working through it. We were going back and forth. And when we got done, he was like, I have never heard that before. I had no idea that's what Christianity was about. I'm like, dude, you and Jesus have a lot more in common than you think you do. He's like, really? I said, I bet the same things that you hate about the church, Jesus hates about the church. He's like, really? I said, tell me more about what you hate about the church. Anyways, we get to Walmart, get the tire, start driving back. He starts opening up about his brother and some issues he has with his family and starts sharing with me. We get back, we throw the tire on, gets the tire machine, puts the tire on, slaps it on. We go to pay him. He's like, no, man, don't pay me. I'm like, look, we'll charge it to the church. It'll be fine. Just, you know, and he's like, no. And I was like, wait a minute. We're going to charge it to the rental company because they're not sending any help out. I said, charge us triple, whatever you should charge us. And he was like, no, man. He's like, no, seriously, I don't, this is on the house. And he was opening up the garage door, and he said, I want to thank you for sharing that with me. I've never heard that before. He said, can we keep talking? I'm like, absolutely. So we're Facebook friends. In fact, just this week, he was sending more things about how I can be praying for him. And it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. I want you to think right now, if you were in a situation similar, actually, I want you to think about somebody on your call circle list. Someone you wrote down. Now, picture yourself in a coffee shop. You've been caring for that person. Picture yourself walking around in the park. It's too cold, actually. It's so sad it's not flip-flop season anymore. But picture yourself interacting with this person, and they give you a wide open door. It could look a lot of different ways, but they say, in other words, sure, go ahead and tell me, what do you believe? Where do you start? What do you say? How does that unfold? And that's why we're having this sermon. You want to start with G, which you memorize. God created us to be with him. This comes out of Genesis 1 and 2. This is the plot of the story. God's original design was for us to be little naked vegetarians running around in a garden, perfectly innocent, perfectly in relationship with him, loving life, loving him. The story is built on this plot. Okay, so it's like this. So if you would walk into a Lord of the Rings movie, how many guys are Lord of the Rings fans? Some of you? Yeah, me too. So let's say you'd walk into the Lord of the Rings movie. In the middle of it, you've never heard of Lord of the Rings. You've just seen the movie. I mean, your reaction might be like, what's up with this little hairy guy with the ring? Like, quit being a drama queen and just put it on, right? And all of us who are watching know, we'd be like, no, don't put it on, Frodo. It's evil. You know, it needs to be destroyed, right? So same way, if you don't start here, you're not going to know the plot of why Jesus actually had to come. Because God created us to be in a relationship with him. You have to understand this first. And I'm going to give you some ideas of how you could unpack. So write some of these things down as you're thinking about this person you're sharing the gospel with. And if I say anything, you're like, oh, that'd be helpful for them to understand. Go ahead and just write it down. Some things you could explain is how we're a special creation handcrafted by God himself. Genesis 2:6, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Can you imagine God forming Adam in the mud, getting down, getting dirty? And then he breathed his life into man, and he became alive. And the first thing that Adam saw was the muddy, smiling face of his creator, of creator God. I love that. All other creation, God said, let there be, and boom. Except for humanity, God said, let me make him. Let us make him. Isn't that awesome? You are specially handcrafted. This is how the woman came to be. The Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs, closed up the place of flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of Adam, out of the man, and he brought her to the man. God used the rib, created woman, handcrafted by God. It's amazing. We were made in the image of God. Then God said, let us create man in our likeness. Genesis 1:26. We're more valuable than all of creation. We're more valuable than animals. Don't get me started on that. We're all of human life is highly valuable because we were created in God's image. We were created to connect with God on the deepest, most intimate levels. Just imagine this picture of the Garden of Eden. The man and his wife heard the sound of God, the Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's Genesis 3:8. Can you imagine? They're like hanging out with God in the cool of the day. God just kind of comes out, starts walking with them. God knows you better than anyone else. So God has the ability to love you better than anyone else. We talked about this at the I Am Retreat. It's so crazy how God knows us completely and still loves us fully. Wrap your mind around that. How many things are you scared about sharing with somebody? Because like, if you really knew what was going on, you wouldn't want to be my friend anymore. And God's like, that's false with me. I know everything about you. I love you more than anyone else. Let's go to O. Our sins separate us from God. So you got to start off with, you got to understand the plot. God created you to be with him. And you explain it your way. You explain it in your style. You use scripture. You use your understanding to help people know God created us to be with him. And the next thing we have to help people understand is our sin separates us from God. Genesis 3 is a great place to take people or for you to even study more of how to explain this. It might be helpful this time to the person you're talking to. Explain how... Explain the definition of what sin is. Sin, you could describe it as breaking God's commandment. You could talk about how it's violating God's character. The simplest form of sin definition is just missing the mark. And then after this, I would start helping them understand the fall of man. Genesis 2:16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die. And that's how the fall of man happened. There was one commandment, total freedom to do anything, but one commandment, do not eat. And we know the story. So in your own words, help this person. You're in a conversation, not a presentation. You're in a conversation with them. Help them understand Satan tempting Eve and the woman eating the fruit. And what happened? Guys, what happened is when Adam and Eve sinned, everything changed. This is a significant story, part of the gospel story. When sin came into the world, everything changed. We We have a sinful nature because of the fall of men. You know that, right? I wasn't going to tell a story because one of my kids were in here, but now the kid's gone, so I may tell you the story. Guys, it's true. By the way, my mom's here this morning. If you guys at all appreciate my job here at the church, you should shake my mom's hand and tell you thank you, because I was not headed in the right direction, and I had a very godly mother who prayed for me. And so that's her name. Her name's Naomi. That's her over there. So if you see her, yep, there you go. So I was not born with a great nature. I was born with a sinful nature. You were too. And if you ever doubt if you're born with a sinful nature, not just look at kids. I got five reasons why you're born with a sinful nature that are in my home. Parents, you can say amen to that. just the other day, and he's not here, so I don't want to throw him under the bus. But one of my children, all right. My mom just informed me actually that my dad, when my dad was a preacher, when he would share a story about one of us kids, he'd have to give us $5 as an apology. He's not here, so he doesn't know what he's missing. Anyways, so one of my boys, what happened was he's screaming and yelling on the couch, and I come running out there thinking, you know, something horrible happened. He's flailing and just yelling. I was like, dude, what happened to you? And he said, my burrito. I couldn't fold my burrito right, and all the stuff fell out of it. I'm like, what? I said, how do you think that's a good response to a burrito not being folded correctly and the content falling out? And his response was, it felt right. Don't follow your feelings. You're born with a sinful nature. When Adam and Eve sinned, everything changed. Their innocence was gone. They were no longer little naked vegetarians running around in a garden. They suddenly felt naked. They were like, we need clothes. Their doom was sealed. Genesis 2:17, you must not eat from the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam and Eve immediately died on a spiritual level, and later they would die physically. Their lives were cut short. And also what happened when Adam and Eve sinned, their descendants were condemned. This is Romans 5:12. Sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. We are condemned to death because of the fall of sin, because of our sin. God is holy. God is just. He cannot let sin go unpunished. God's sin burns against wrath. Of course it burns against wrath. It burns against sin. His wrath burns against sin because, listen, if you really love something, that means you're going to really hate something. If you really love your wife, you're going to hate anything that separates you and her. If you really love your kids, you're going to hate anything that comes up to somehow harm your kids. True? So of course God's wrath burns against sin. Of course it does. It separates us from him. It condemns us. I was at the Harvest Market a couple years ago now, and I know some of you guys have heard this story, so apologize about that. But and by the way, the Harvest Market closed down, and I've been brokenhearted ever since. I love that place. I don't know where to eat anymore. But back in the good old days, when the Harvest Market was up and running, I met a guy there named Brad. He was sitting by himself at a picnic table, had his lunch. I got my lunch. I walked past, heart started beating. I felt a peace come over me, and it was very clear that God's like, that's the guy. So I said, all right. So I sat next to him, and I said, hey, man, we started talking. I wanted to get the conversation to something spiritual. So I said, Brad, do you believe in God? And he said, I do. He said, believe God's good? Yeah, I believe God's good. Good. He's a good God. I'm like, all right. Now, just as a side note here, if just because someone believes in God doesn't mean they actually are trusting in Jesus for their salvation. We know that salvation doesn't happen other than faith alone in Jesus Christ. So a good question to ask, and Doug Holliday gave us this question last Sunday. A good question to ask is, all right, if you're in heaven standing before God and God says, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? That really is a telling question to tell where people are thinking their salvation comes from. He said, well, this is what I think. I think that I'm going to tell God, listen, God, I've been through a hard life. And he went on to explain his hard life to me a little bit. And I've been through a lot of stuff, and that's why I'm a bad person. And then God's going to say, oh, Brad, you've been through a hard life. You are disadvantaged in so many ways. That's why you sin. It's okay. Come on into heaven. I said, Brad, I hear you, but can I tell you a story? He said, sure. So just for some of you guys, I'm going to tell a story, but this story is now a story inside of a story, so Don't get too confused, like an inception thing going on here. So I'm telling Brad a story, and I'm saying, all right, Brad, let's say you and your wife just got married, and you're on the beach, first day of your honeymoon, and she's beautiful, and you love her, and you're gonna have this great life together, and she asks for a glass of lemonade, and you're like, sure, I'll get you a glass of lemonade. So you go get her a glass of lemonade, you come back, and there's a crowd of people around her, and I used a more graphic picture when I was actually telling Brad, because we have kids in the crowd, I'm gonna simplify it, but basically you come back, and your wife has been brutally murdered. And witnesses said some guy ran up to her and did a bunch of stuff and murdered her. And I said, how are you feeling, Brad? He said, oh, man, I'm brokenhearted. I said, yeah, that would be really hard, wouldn't it? Yeah. I said, let's fast forward the story. Now you're in the courtroom. There's a judge who's standing in front of you, and the guy who murdered your wife is right over on the other side of the room. And the judge asked him to come to testify, and he comes and said, listen, judge, I've been through a hard life. And I started actually using some of Brad's excuses. My mom walked out when I was a young kid. My dad was abusive. And then the judge says, so you murdered someone because of that? And he said, yeah, it's a hard life, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was acting out of pain and murdered this woman. And then the judge says, you know what? You did have a hard life. It was hard. Why don't you just go ahead and leave? You're fine. All's forgiven. You don't have to do life in jail or anything like that. You're fine. Just go ahead and go. I said, Brad, how do you feel right now? Brad's like, I'm ticked. And he said some other words I can't repeat here. I'm ticked. I'm like, why are you ticked? Yeah, that's not right. I said, is that a good judge? No, that's not a good judge. Is that a just judge? No, that's not a just judge. Should that judge be fired? Yes, that judge should be fired. That judge doing his job? That judge is not doing its job. I say, but yet, you expect God to act the same way when under your own definition, that's not good. And that's not just. We went on to have a really good conversation then, unpacking the gospel. God created us to be with him. Our sin separates us from God. You need to help your friends, neighbors, strangers you talk to understand that. And it just gets worse. Before it gets better. It gets worse because our sins cannot be removed by good deeds. They're a stain. And so now you have sin, you're separated. And what we often try to do, let's be honest, what we often try to do is say, well, as long as I'm good, then I know that, like, God might like me more, right? I guess somehow, but let's play this out logically. How can our sins be removed by good deeds? If you rob a bank with $40 million and then you jump, you know, run out into the street and you push some kid away from being hit in the bus and you save his life, do you still have to suffer the consequences of robbing $40 million? Yeah, exactly. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. We often look at the Old Testament and we're like, well, all these laws, weren't they given to us so that we can, like, make things right with God? No, the Old Testament law was to show us our sin. The Old Testament law was to expose what the disease actually was. And you can see those verses up there. This is how we become conscious of our sin. It was because of the law that I saw that coveting was actually wrong. Because the law said, you shall not covet. And therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. I remember picking up a homeless guy, and we decided he wanted to go somewhere. I said, let's drive. And I was sharing the gospel with him, and he said, look, I get that. I love it. He's like, I appreciate what God has done for me, and I'm planning on following God. I just need to get my life straight first. I'm like, you got to get your life straightened out first. Hold up a second. You can't. It's impossible. Quit trying. That's why Jesus came, because we weren't perfect and there's nothing we could do. Where there was no way, he made a way. Let me tell you what good enough looks like, because if you take this whole idea of I just have to be good enough, somehow if I do good enough stuff, my sin won't matter. What does good enough, because the question comes down to how good is good enough, right? That's what a lot of religions are struggling with. Well, how good is good enough? I don't know. We just try to do good stuff. I'll tell you what good enough looks like. It means you have to somehow, not just right now, magically never sin again, But you have to figure out some way of removing all the sin stains from your past. It's like trying to long jump across the Grand Canyon. It's like trying to pole vault to the moon. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. The law is a mirror to show us our sin. It's not a ladder to get us to heaven. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. I love that verse. So we have a problem. How can we get back in good standing with God? In the middle of all the sin in our life, we are doomed. There is no hope. We have eternity sealed for hell, and there's nothing that we can do about it. And this is where I have to end my sermon. We're out of time. I'm joking. I'm not going to leave you guys hanging here. But this is, I'm only supposed to cover the GOS, all right? So hopefully this was helpful in helping you guys think through how to explain God created us to be with him, our sin separation from God, and sins cannot be ruined by good deeds. Hopefully that was helpful as you were thinking of the people in your life that you're going to be sharing with. I don't feel right with just stopping here. And so I did ask Jeff permission if I could just unpack a little bit of what he's going to be preaching on. So Jeff's going to go into a lot deeper unpacking of the paying the price of sins, everyone to trust him alone, and life with Jesus starts now, lasts forever. But I do want to just really share with you guys, listen, there is no hope. And that's why Jesus came. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the center of the gospel, that God looked at us and said, you can't do it on your own. Quit trying. I'm going to send a remedy. And paying the price for sin, Jesus died and he rose again. And now, anyone who trusts in him alone, not trusts in our works, not trusts in our ability to somehow be good enough, good luck in trying. Go ahead, pole vault to the moon. Let's see how that works out. Not depending on anything else, but having faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, we're saved. And life with Jesus starts right now. You don't got to wait till you die. Right now, he wants a relationship with you. Because why? God created you to be with him. That's the point of it all. Now it makes sense why God made a way. And now it makes sense why it's so simple. Anyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life because the payment's been paid for. You don't have to be good enough anymore. You guys thankful for that? And I think we got a community that needs to hear that message. So I would love to pray for you. Let's just bow our heads. I want to pray for you guys, and then we'll get eaten at the mission meal. God, would you give us an urgency for the gospel? God, we know that is your responsibility to save, and we're trusting that your plan of salvation is sufficient and is good. And we've experienced it, and we've tasted, and we've seen your goodness. And we know that it's our responsibility to share, so help us be faithful. Help us to be fluent. Help us to feel urgency in the gospel. And God, I pray for every single one of the gospel conversations that's going to be happening tomorrow, today, tomorrow, this next week, this next month, the people that you've laid on hearts of us as a congregation that we're supposed to go to, that I pray that those conversations would go well, that we as a congregation, as individual people, could clearly articulate the gospel, and that right now you would, through your Holy Spirit, be working in their hearts so the gospel is not just articulated clearly, but is received and falling on ripe and fertile soil, ready to hear the gospel. Give us boldness. We need you. Thank you for the gospel. I pray that we would not leave this service without doing something about the truth of your word that we've heard this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.